Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for coming by tonight. You know, all day today, I watched some television. I was in and out of doctor's offices today with my husband, so I saw a lot of newscasts about this young man, Ed Snowden, and tremendous, tremendous amount of controversy in regard to who he is and what he's done. I want to read you something that was on the internet today, and then we're going to talk a little bit about some of the other things that I have learned about him. Before he was labeled a hero or a traitor, Ed Snowden, the intelligence contractor who leaked the details of a secret domestic data mining program, was called a whistleblower. The term whistleblower has been used broadly by his defenders, including Glenn Greenwald, the Guardian reporter, who first published documents provided by Snowden detailing the PRISM program to monitor the phone calls and emails of U.S. citizens. Every time there's a whistleblower, somebody who exposes government wrongdoing, the tactic of the government is to try to demonize them as a traitor. That's what Greenwald told the ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos. But for each of Snowden's champions, there are others less willing to anoint him with a title usually reserved for those who expose criminal activity, fraud, or corruption. Now, I want to stop here and say that in my history as a team of management, I have experienced whistleblowers. And whistleblowers are often people who have been let go from a job for various reasons and decide to go tell everybody everything that was being done wrong at the job that they had because they're angry. And sometimes they're right. Sometimes things are being done very unprofessionally, not up to code in regards to the way things are built or replaced or repaired. There's a lot of laws. There's a lot of stipulations in regard to building and zoning. And a whistleblower can have a lot of fun by blaming everybody else, even though in often some of the situations I'm familiar with, ironically, the whistleblower was the one doing the work. So whistleblower for me is I have mixed emotions about that. I don't know that that's, I mean, it's kind of like a tattletale. And if you've listened to the show before, you know I'm not real big on being a tattletale. So at any rate, for me, that's a whistleblower. And I do think in some instances it's probably saved some jobs. I think it's probably reorganized some businesses for the better, but I still feel like it's something that, you know, there's lots of controversy, because then you have to take their word and somebody has to come in and do the inspections and find out if it's all true. And you never know if the whistleblower themselves is the one that could be responsible for the poor work and the poor the poor production of what they're complaining about. So I don't think that's true this time, but that's why I kind of like wonder why this terminology was used over this particular incident. But for each of Snowden's champions, there are others less willing to anoint him with a title usually reserved for those who expose criminal activity, fraud, or corruption, as I just said. Why is media using sympathetic word whistleblower for Edward Snowden, who leaked secret NSA program? He broke the law and made us less safe. Richard Haass, president of the Council on Foreign Relations, a whistleblower is a person who reveals wrongdoing, corruption, illegal activity. None of this applies here, even if you oppose U.S. governmental policy. Federal law broadly protects whistleblowers with one exception. Employees who are privy to the nation's secrets, thank you, said Professor Richard E. Moberly, Associate Dean of the University of Nebraska College of Law. The definition of a whistleblower depends on the context. Outside of national security, we tend to think very broadly. Whistleblowers expose not only illegal activity, but abuses of power, fraud, financial misconduct, and even unethical choices, which we all should be grateful for. But employees entrusted with state secrets should be more limited in how and what to disclose. Under the law, intelligence employees have their own system to report activity they believe violates the law or is unethical. Employees are instructed to report wrongdoing to Congress or their agency's inspector general, is what was told by Mr. Moberly. The press, which has made heroes of past whistleblowers like Jeffrey Wigand, who exposed big tobacco lies, and Frank Serpico, an NYPD detective who took on police corruption, have selectively used the word whistleblower to describe Snowden. The Associated Press, which sets the style for many of its members' agencies, issued a memo on Monday telling reporters to call Snowden a leaker rather than a whistleblower. A whistleblower is a person who exposes wrongdoing. It's not a person who simply asserts that what he has uncovered is illegal or immoral, wrote AP Standards editor Tom Kent. Whether the actions exposed by Snowden and, I don't know who this is, Mr. Bradley, PFC Bradley, Manning constitute wrongdoing is hotly contested. So we should not call them whistleblowers on our own at this point. Now, as I read through some of these things and read little excerpts and heard this young man talk several times today, it came to my attention that we're talking about a young man who dropped out of high school and moved into a pretty plush job for whatever reasons, doesn't have any real background to make some of these decisions. So I'm a little stumped. So I have some thoughts on my own, and then we'll open up some discussion. Ed Snowden, whistleblower, hero, traitor. Who is he? Did he jeopardize our safety? Does he have the knowledge, the facts, the rest of the story? We all went ballistic when 911 happened. With all our technology, how is it we didn't know what was going on? So steps have been taken to keep an eye on our world. Right or wrong, we are supposed to feel safer when there are less secrets and less covert activity. I, for one, feel safer with that. I guess that's up to the individual. Secrets, at least personal ones, mean little to outsiders. They're only important to those involved. If you are only minding your own business, do you care who knows it? I do not. However, I do expect to have our technology help keep us safe. Look at the Boston attack. Outrageous, and yet could have been a whole lot worse. I believe this young man has no training or education that entitles him to make the decision he made. People who assume they know all the answers are very dangerous sometimes. There is a lot involved in the decisions made. They're not always right either, but at least it's their forte, their profession, their responsibility. If you're not guilty of anything, you should be glad those who are will be found. So that's how I feel. I'm ready to hear how everybody else feels. And I think this is a very, very interesting topic, and I'll tell you why. Because in today's society, in the United States of America, there's a lot of people that are jealous, who are upset that they can't have, you know, what their neighbor has, that they aren't making it to the top of their proverbial professional ladder. There's a lot of that stuff going on. And so when that happens, that promotes gossip. It promotes, well, for lack of any other terminology, backstabbing and personal, the ability to make someone else look bad so that you look better. And we've talked about that a lot on this show. And we see a lot of that in the workplace. We see a lot of that even in families. Everybody wants to succeed and everybody wants to be at least a little bit important, which is fine. And I think most of us are entitled to those things. But at the cost of jeopardizing the whole world's safety, I think you have to think long and hard before you make an assessment of something that you're really not don't have total privy to, that you don't really know everything that's going on. You have not seen or been a part of the big picture. And that appears to me as what happened here. And he may think he's done a wonderful thing. I'm not going to attack him as a person. I don't think that's right. But again, it's about training and recognizing the people who sit in these kind of seats as being professional enough to be able to handle it. If he was privy to some secrets, somebody should have made sure he was a good secret keeper. And that's pretty simple, but it is pretty simple. I'm going to bring in Shelley, and if anybody else is out there that would like to talk about this, please feel free to call in. Hi, Shell. How you doing? Shelley?
Oh, no, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Can you hear me?
I do. I hear you now. Yes, I do. I do. Okay. I had terrible times today with my cell phone, so I hope we can hang on to you today.
Yeah. No, I had muted my phone because sometimes as I'm getting down to my car, it's noisy, and in case you bring me in while I'm doing that, I don't want your listeners to, you know, hear all the noise and the stuff as I'm getting out to my car.
Okay.
And then I forgot to unmute it.
So have you heard what I've been talking about?
I heard your commentary, but I didn't hear the beginning of what this guy actually said about anything, and I understand that there's a controversy as to whether or not he just released secrets or he was actually a legitimate whistleblower, but what in fact did he do?
Well, what he did was he spoke on national television and told everybody that that there's a special program called the PRISM program that monitors the phone calls and emails of all U.S. citizens. And he said, you know, I sit here and I can step into any email or any phone in the United States and hear what's going on. Well, again, you know, I think there's a lot of distinction between what I think a whistleblower is and the fact that they're calling this young man a whistleblower. As you know, a job you and I held together, there were whistleblowers and people who thought that they were right in complaining about the way things were done and the way work was finished and things like that. That's a whistleblower. Whistleblowers are supposed to expose abuses of money or power or anything that has that jeopardizes the safety or the that jeopardizes anything that people are depending on coming from your business. And at Hippocrates, whistleblowers talked about repairs being made, and actually claimed that repairs were done poorly. And the truth of the matter was, like I said earlier, most of the repairs were done by the person who was called the whistleblower, or what he did was called the Whistleblower Act. And this young man, he could have, he did jeopardize us a lot. I mean, 3 months ago, everybody was up in arms because they said that they knew something about these two young boys and his, and their mother, and them going back and forth, and them hating America, and people knew that they did and everything. And everybody wanted to know, with all of our technology, why we hadn't done something about that. Mm-hmm. So now steps have been taken so that there's actually a babysitter, which is apparently what we need, and... and now everybody's annoyed about that. If you're not doing anything wrong, nobody's going to listen. Nobody wants to hear me crying to my sister or me yelling at my husband over the phone. Who cares about any of that? Nobody.
Well, see, the problem is, and see, this is why if people, and I understand where you're coming from, but I'm going to go to the other side of the coin for a minute, just. You know, just to see if we can inspire anybody else to call in. But in the United States, we're supposed to have freedom. The more and more the government says, oh, because of terrorism this and terrorism this, we're going to eat away at your freedoms little by little by little, it gets to the point now where the government is actually becoming way too invasive into our personal rights. And, you know, I mean, without going into conspiracy theories and all that, there's a lot of questions about actually what happened on 9/11, and some of the terrorist or non-terrorist activity that was actually behind that. The U.S. government is putting itself in a position of almost becoming, and I'm trying to be very careful here with what I say, because I don't want to become a political arena, but it isn't okay for the government to start taking away our liberties little by little by little, listening into private conversations of law-abiding citizens, but that is, in fact, what they started several years ago. Now, I've known about it for a long time through other sources. The fact that this guy felt compelled to go out on national television is, I don't know if it's brave or stupid or what. There's a lot of people that have already known about this that have leaked it in other areas, but it's not okay. And the more complacent that the American people remain, the more okay with whatever the government decides to do, people are, we are eventually going to move into like a Nazi Germany type of government that literally controls all of our actions. The American people have enjoyed freedom for a couple hundred years, and that's going to come to a screeching halt if people don't pay attention and start questioning. It doesn't mean that you rise up and disrespect your country. I love America. I think America is, in fact, the greatest country on the face of this planet. I will never feel differently. But that doesn't mean that the government doesn't sometimes do things that are not right. And when they start encroaching on innocent people's liberties in the guise of trying to watch out for terrorism, which in many regards is a front, I'll put that out there, I'm not okay with that. And American people should be savvy enough to keep their eyes and ears open and at least be aware of things and question it. There's nothing wrong with questioning why the government is doing this or doing that. And if the answer doesn't seem plausible, then ask the question again and dig a little bit deeper and find out what is really going on behind the scenes.
I don't disagree with any of that. And I don't think that's really what this particular scenario is about. I do believe that there's many things that go on in the United States of America that the public is not made aware of, and that the public has little or no say in, and there's a lot of mistakes being made. Absolutely. But again, we're talking about, you can't have your cake and eat it too sometimes. Do you, if you want to feel as though your next door neighbor is going to bomb your house because you look like a redneck, then there has to be some kind of security set up. If you want to make sure that the next time you go to a big thing at Rockefeller Center, that there's not going to be a shooter at the top of one of the buildings, then there has to be some things in place to keep us safe. You agree with all of that. What you're disagreeing with is you don't want anybody taking your rights away. I don't either.
The problem with all of this is that with some of the monitoring that's going on, it's eventually going to get to the point where, and then that's why I say I want people to keep watch for this, because it happens very, very slowly. And when you talk about communist countries, okay, it gets to the point where you're not allowed saying anything disparaging against your own country. When they enacted the Patriot Act, they basically put the Constitution on hold, okay? So our liberties are basically not even in force anymore once you go into martial law and things like that, which means any police officer can walk into your house and arrest you, not tell you why you're being arrested, and you can be incarcerated for an indefinite amount of time without any reason. And these type of monitorings, if they were preventing those type of things, then I would be all for them. But that's not what a lot of this surveillance is being used for. It's being used to look for people who may be talking against the government, who may be subversive, things like that, but people that are law-abiding and that love this country and want to make sure we maintain our freedom. That's what concerns me, because it's not being used. Some of it is not being used for the purposes that you just talked about. About protecting us, about preventing things like what happened in Boston.
I understand that. But the whole thing that we're talking about tonight is this young man's decision or poor choice to do what he did without knowing exactly what it was he was doing. And when you talk about first of all, our security, because being safe should be the number one priority, but also our rights. I believe in the rights that we've established in the last hundreds and hundreds of years that we've been the United States. But again, it's not so easy,
Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you consider it harmful that he told the American public that? I mean, who cares if we know that? I mean, I know that the government does that kind of stuff. What do I care that it got confirmed? Why is that government in jeopardy because now it's public knowledge?
Well, because he didn't repeat it exactly the way it takes place. He repeated it from his interpretation of what was going on. He said if he wanted to, he could get into anybody's phone line or anybody's emails and read them. And okay, so I already knew that, you already knew that, but now what he did is he kind of jeopardized us from the people who are here that aren't supposed to be here, who are living in our country illegally or for whatever reasons, and are up to no good. The people that know that you can do that.
Let me tell you something. They already know that.
I know, Shel, but this was like putting up a sign on Okeechobee Boulevard. My point is that he made a mistake, and now for people to make it look like he did something good, I think is another mistake. I don't think he should be ostracized. I don't think he should be beheaded. I think he doesn't have the kind of education nor the kind of training to be able to have gone out there and said something like this. And this is our fault as well, because he should have been trained a hell of a lot better before he got put into such a serious position. And again, we cannot, especially just you and I together, fix the mess that's out there. I get that. And I don't want the government to take away our rights. I don't want my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren growing up in a place where, you know, you have no rights. But I also don't want them growing up in a place that you can't walk outside when you want to, or go to a country park, or do any of those things that I grew up with.
So I want
safety, and I want security, but I don't want it at that price. I don't want it at the price that everybody's talking about paying when you say then that means we have no privacy, our life is not our own, and we have to live like cattle on a farm. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But this tonight's conversation is about this young man whose own mother said on this recording that I heard tonight, I thought he was studying for school, and years went by before I realized he didn't even graduate.
What?
And I'm like, what? Yeah, that's what I said too. So, and then he moved to Hawaii, and he was doing all kinds of things. He's a computer geek of some kind. And now he steps up to the plate and goes on national television and says things that are his interpretation of what's going on. So again,
wait a minute. Is he a government official?
He is. His title. Let me. I won't remember it verbatim. Every time there's a whistleblower, it's supposed to government for each of Snowden's champions. Sarah. He broke the law and made us less safe. Whistleblower is a person who is this is federal law. Definition of whistleblower. Well, I can't find where it says. He's an intelligence contractor who leaked the details of a secret domestic data mining program, and it's called PRISM. And he said to the Guardian reporter, Guardian is very controversial too, who first published documents provided by Snowden detailing the PRISM program to monitor the phone calls and emails of U.S. citizens. And again, you know, he's a worker bee sitting at a computer.
Wow.
Keeping an eye on things. And he's making this big thing. He fears for his life. He's been in China or someplace like that. He went because they said that they'd let him stay there. But the point is that he's been on TV all day today, all day yesterday, and he looks like a very mild-mannered young man, and he may think he did a good thing. But what he really did is he's 29 years old, and he has no education like the people that he's narking on. You know, and
first of all, like you said, he's probably not high enough in the food chain to understand the full impact of what this special project was about. There, I agree with you. I thought he was a government official when I first heard this, and you know, I thought that he knew more about the project than he does. But if he was in the position he is, he sounds like he might have been somewhat immature to kind of jump the gun like that, then I agree with you because, you know, it, just like we were talking about when we said that you think something is going on, you know, you can't call the police all hysterical and say, oh, you know, my next-door neighbor's beating his wife every night just because you hear yelling and screaming. You know, you just got to call the cops and say, look, I don't know what's going on, but something's happening over there. Please check it out. And then just leave it up to the cops to figure it out, you know. The same thing with this guy, you know, if he didn't really know the big picture, if he wasn't high enough in the ranks to be privy to some of the more secretive information, then he either should have gotten it or kept his mouth shut until he did know exactly what was going on and the reasons behind it. You know, so I agree with you that whistleblowing is heroic and brave, but I also think it carries an enormous responsibility because 9 times out of 10, whistleblowers are exposing something that is usually, usually a very terrible.
It's usually illegal. It's usually about violations of some kind, either financial violations or how they treat their staff, things like that is usually a whistleblower's.
Or like companies that used to dump harmful chemicals in areas.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that whole thing that movie was about?
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it, but you know what I'm talking about, that woman she found this thing, she was dumping, and everybody in the town was getting cancer, even the children
and
stuff.
Yeah, so, I think Sally Fields
kind of
or one of them. But
right.
Norma Ray.
Yeah,
Norma Ray.
Yeah. So that's heroic, that's brave. But again, it takes a lot of responsibility. You gotta know what you're talking about and you gotta keep your mouth shut until you do know. It doesn't mean you don't research it, it doesn't mean you don't put the effort out. It means that's exactly what you have to do. You have to know all the facts, which is something you talk about all the time on this show. You have to get the whole story before you say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there I agree with you 110%.
Well, and the point, the biggest point is that, like you just said, you're right about everything you said as well, and we are in trouble. We are hands down in trouble. But but again. We have to take into account who tells us what, and people don't do that. We talked on this show about in the workplace. Somebody who wants to get ahead in the workplace often goes to the boss and complains about everybody. And I know you've heard me say this before, but when I'm sitting in the boss's chair and the same person comes to me every day and complains about a different person every day, they're the ones I start watching. Because they're the ones that chances are doing something that they don't want me to see, so they're taking all of the attention and putting them on other people. Now, do I think this young man was trying to do that? I don't see how that could play out unless he was doing something wrong when he sat in a position like that where he had the leeway to do certain things. Maybe he was. Maybe he is.
Yeah.
But he disappears, makes this report, and then disappears. Now everybody's looking for him.
Wow.
And people in other countries are hiding him. Now, does that scare you a little bit?
Yes.
Me too. So the point is here, like I said, I mean, it's a kind of a game of trust and believing in the decisions we make as a people too. Somebody said to me today, you're looking for utopia. And I said, well, I guess you're not the first person to say that to me. I don't feel like I'm looking for utopia, but if I was, is that so wrong? Is it so wrong to believe that we can have a large group of people who all has the good of all in their heads? I realize that's very Pollyanna. I realize that. Shell, but
Yeah, but let's put our goals there. I mean, whether you ever achieve it or not, shouldn't you at least be trying to go in that direction? As long as you're aiming in that direction, you'll keep improving as a civilization and as a society. You know, but if you say that's an unrealistic goal and you shoot for something less, then that means it could never evolve. Who's to say what we'll be like in 500 or 1,000 years as a civilization? If we keep moving forward and we keep wanting better for ourselves, who's to say utopia isn't something that could be achieved at some point? It may not happen in our lifetime, but I don't think it's unreasonable to think it will never happen as long as we keep improving ourselves and the way we think and the way we care about each other. And that's kind of like the whole premise of this show, is to start stimulating people to just simply care about each other and live more morally and more ethically. That would solve so many issues.
All right, so you just said one of our favorite words. You said morally. So now let me ask you this question. Do you think it was morally acceptable that this young man has been given a job that he's been doing for quite some time, for him to just get up from his desk one day and walk out and talk to the Guardian newspaper and give this report before he talked to any of his superiors, any of his comrades, his associates, whatever you want to call them, before he did that and said, you know, don't you think the rest of the world should know about this, or did anything before he went to the extremes that he went to? Do you think that showed any moral code, any professional code? Do you think any of those things were true of what he did?
No.
Me either.
Not in that context. Not in that context. Nope. That's why I was saying that if you're going to be a whistleblower, it requires a lot of responsibility and due diligence, because you can, like you said, you can put people in jeopardy. You can ruin people's reputation. You can cripple companies. You can put companies out of business. And what if it's over something that you're wrong about? You know, you got to really know what you're talking about if you're going to go there.
Well, if you're really gonna rock the boat, you better be standing there with life preservers, because otherwise a lot of people are gonna drown, right?
It's
a matter of, I mean, there's lots of words you can use. Ethically, what he did, I think, was incorrect. Professionally, I think it showed no professionalism. When he talks on the television, he looks like, I'm put in mind of like a Clark Kent or something. This very mild-mannered young man who maybe does think that he's doing something good. You know, I would like to think that he thinks he's doing something good. But the truth of the matter is, he didn't give it enough thought before he did it. And that's where the biggest problem lies. So now he's given more fuel for the fire of people who are up to no good. He's given more security issues to the people. Let's think about people that aren't like you and I, who pretty much can take care of anything that comes our way, and we just do, and that's the way it goes. What about some of the people we've met in our lifetime who live in their house, barely leave their house, do the things that they're supposed to do, are timid and afraid, they don't make new friends, they don't stand up for themselves, and they see something like this on television? Where did that put them this week?
Right. In a bad place.
It scared the hell out of them, right?
Right. That's right.
And now every time they use their phone, they're going to hear that little click, click noise or something. They're going to wonder who's listening to them. Well, folks, who cares? Unless you're doing something bad, if somebody has some interest in listening to your phone calls, who cares? Really, who cares? So do I want you to give up the right of privacy? Of course I don't. But do I want you to be safe? Of course I do.
Right.
And sometimes we have to, you know, there has to be a little give and take there. So sometimes the price of true safety and security the ropes have to be tightened. And when the ropes are tightened, then a few of your freedoms get a little bit more constrained. And most of us, I think, understand that and, you know, for whatever reasons, would be able to deal with it. But I don't want anybody taking away any of my rights, for sure. Matter of fact, I think we know that about me. I can be pretty self-righteous. So I don't want that to happen to me. But I do want to know that we're safe. I really do. And I do want to know that that somebody's keeping an eye on the people that might not want us to be safe. So, but again, this controversy over this young guy, I mean, at first, when I first saw it, was a couple days ago, and I thought, why in the hell did he do that? That was my first thought. I mean, just like out of the blue, I thought to myself, well, what did he serve by doing that? What good did he do? If he didn't like doing that job, he could have quit, right?
Right.
If he was uncomfortable or if there was some moral questions, then maybe it wasn't the job for him. I wouldn't be able to do that job. You probably wouldn't be able to do that job, but there are some people out there who wouldn't think twice about it. It would just be a matter of simply reporting. They wouldn't get involved in what they heard or what was going on. They'd just, you know, do their job. Some people are suited for some jobs and some are not, which we know very well.
Yes.
But on the same token, this, I said to the kids today, because we talked about this, because I always talk about what I'm going to do on the show and get a little feedback from them. The teenagers didn't have much to say about any of this, but some of the my kids, my adult kids, we talked about it quite a bit. And I said, do you think it was right of him to do that? And they said, well, don't you want to know, Mom, if somebody's, you know, taken away? Just kind of like you said when we first started talking tonight, they said the same thing. And I said, of course I don't. Don't be silly. Of course I don't. But I think sometimes there has to be some give and take, and there will be some things that are no longer available to us in an effort to keep us safer. You know, let's face it, if you don't want your kid to drown, you keep a gate around the pool. Doesn't mean the kid can never go into the pool, but the gate is there so he can't go in there as freely and often as he wants to. That's a safety thing. So maybe those are the kind of things that are going to happen to us, because lately, I mean, we're hurting ourselves enough. We don't need people from other countries coming here and hurting us.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
So if you, let's say you've worked in some pretty intricate places that did work on equipment and stuff like that. Let's say you found out that a piece of equipment your company was producing wasn't going to work, was faulty.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the first thing you did when you came to the realization, because you're responsible and you have a part in that, and you would feel morally, you needed to talk to somebody. Would you go talk to the National Enquirer, or would you go talk to the boss?
Well, I would go talk to to my boss, and then if I got nowhere from him, I'd go to his. In other words, I would go up the chain of command in my company. The only time, and I certainly wouldn't go to a publication like the Enquirer or the Guardian, and I don't even know that I would put myself out there, but I would. If I got nowhere within my company, if I just kept getting stonewalled, then I would research some sort of a regulatory agency to have investigate. I would not go to a newspaper. I would find the appropriate agency and say, hey, look, you know, this is not going to be safe. They're trying to sell this part to go in this airplane or whatever. And if they do that, it's putting people's lives in jeopardy because this valve is faulty or whatever, you know. But I certainly wouldn't go out on national television or on a newspaper. I think that's highly irresponsible. I think it's sensationalist, and like you said, it is somewhat immature. then that's why I said being a whistleblower takes some responsibility, because you have to find out who is in a position to do something about it and and go to that agency or that person or whatever, you know, and sometimes it takes a little bit of effort. But it's harder to do things the right way, you know. Anybody can take the easy way out, but a lot of times the easy way out makes things worse and can severely backfire. So this thing that you were trying to do that you thought was good ends up hurting a lot of people. And so that's why it takes a little bit of due diligence and some common sense.
Well, and in truth, the analogy we just used with you doing that isn't really apples to apples in regard to this scenario either, because we're talking about the fact that you knew about this part because you helped put it together and you knew what was wrong and what was right. This young man just made a blanket statement without offering any other kind of information. So what he did was, I mean, if I try to equate it to something little kids would do, it's easy for me, because a little kid would come in and say, Joey's 4 years old, Joey just ran down the street and ran across the road and everything, and mom gets all panicky and goes running out and finds out that Joey's running after the family dog. But the little boy doesn't say he's trying to chase the dog because the dog took off chasing a cat and, you know, the rest of the story. So
right.
This young man went up there and just said, oh, my God, you know, everybody's listening in on your phone conversations. And, you know, I could get into your emails right now and know everything that you're talking about on your email, who you email and who you do this with and everything. Not, by the way, I can check out anybody, any neighbors that you have that, you know, are secretive or lots of action at the house and everything. We can look into that now and find out what's going on. That presentation of that scenario is a lot nicer, isn't it? It's the same thing, the same two truths, but one sounds like, oh, thank you, and the other one sounds like, what? Who do you think you are?
It's true. It's true. Well, I mean, it's like spinning, you know. You can spin anything one direction or the other, but, you know, it's all in the presentation.
That's right. That's right. That's the whole thing.
He presented it in an alarmist fashion.
Exactly. Exactly. And made it sound as bad and as, immoral as he could make it sound. And
right.
And again, I don't know. Maybe it is. Shell, I don't know. I'm not there. I don't work there. I'm not privy to any of that stuff. All I know that when you get to be as old as I am, you know that there's always two sides to every story. And the way I listen to a lot of politicians today talk about this, and some of them I thought were right on, some of them I thought were just covering their own butts. And, you know, so you get mixed emotions about that as well. But the truth of the matter is, the way he did it was wrong, unprofessional, and very immature.
Well, the movie that I was thinking about before, it finally came to mind, it was Erin Brockovich.
I thought you were talking about Norma Rae when she worked in that factory.
But that was about the factory. Mm-hmm. But Erin Brockovich discovered all that, the pollution that was being dumped by that company, and then they falsified all their records, and all the people in the town were dying of all kinds of cancers.
Right, I remember that.
I mean, it was a heart-wrenching true story, you know? Mm-hmm. First of all, she knew what she was talking about before she started talking. She was very, because she didn't even believe it in the beginning, so she just kept investigating it. But when she did finally blow the whistle, she had the solution. This is what has to happen. This is what's being done, and this is how it has to be fixed. This guy goes out there, throws this information out there, and, okay, so what are we supposed to do with it? You know, that's why I called him an alarmist. You know, if he came out, let's just say he was right, like you just said. Let's say he is right. Let's say that there is something hokey about this and that it's not right and that, you know, we're putting innocent people in jeopardy or whatever. Let's just let's just go there just for a minute, just for the example.
Right,
okay?
Right, sure.
Okay, so you throw this out there in an alarmist fashion, and all he accomplished was panicking the people who would go there, who would get panicked by some information like that. Instead of going out like Aaron Brockovich or other whistleblowers who come up with, this is how this has to be fixed, and now I need support of the people in order to make this fix happen, to make things right. But he offers no fix other than just like saying, this is going on, and I just want to alert you all. Well thanks a lot.
Well, and then he does that, and then he runs off and hides to make it look like, well, I mean, now there's talk about the fact that he thinks he's going to be killed by our government. And so, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things about what he did that make me very wary. And and I think we're certainly not done with this. This is going to be in the headlines for a while, I suspect.
Yeah. Yep.
But I do, like I said, I do believe, I always want people to be honest, and I always want people to tell the truth and to nobody turn a blind eye to things that they know are wrong, because for one of the biggest reasons is because it never serves you very well.
Right.
Usually gives you ulcers and headaches and all of the above if you're any kind of a decent person. So I do think, though, that in most cases, most of us, you know, would take the second step and would say, you know, okay, I want to do this or I don't want to do that, and here's why, and would handle it, most of us. But then there are some of us who would just get all the notoriety and the attention, and then, you know, that's it. Okay, now I've rocked the boat, and let's see who can swim and who can't. And
When you saw him talking, how did he come across? Did he come across like he was, like he thought he was doing a good thing, or did he just come across like a gossip monger?
No, his demeanor and everything is very calm, very self-assured. Like I said, he looks like a young preppy, and very smooth when he talks, and very gentle. And but the more I listened and the more I researched today, I was like, you know, this could have been handled a lot better, my friend, a lot better. Because my guess is now the repercussions of this are not going to be good for you. They're not going to be good for America. And for some of our older folks that are all by themselves, it's going to be damn scary. So I think the whole thing could have been handled in an entirely different way. And
he didn't think it through.
No. And again, you know, everything that he did, he might have thought he had good reason for. But, you know, that's like when you and I have both worked with people that we thought were really nice and they were good people, but they've done some real stupid things. And and hurt others in the procedure. And I think that's pretty much what he did today. And I hope, to be honest with you, that our world is going to clean itself up to some degree, and that things will not end up as awful as it sounds that they're headed for at this point in time. I plan on being here for a little while longer, and I want my family that I'm leaving behind when I do leave to have a good place to live, a good world to live in. So I do hope that a lot of things, you know, find their way to a happy medium and to a place that's more grounded and more people friendly, because we're people. So
yep.
And I do worry about it, and I do think that there are some people there that are out there in the world right now that have ulterior motives and really don't care about any of us. But I also think that there's some people out there that really care a lot and have good ideas. And the trick, of course, is to sort through and find those that have good ideas and that care enough to make the world what it's supposed to be. So
exactly.
But it's like everything else. You know, you always get the good with the bad and the bad with the good. I get that as well. And
right.
I just think that somebody said to me, you know, they can look at your emails and they can look at that and everything. And, you know, I thought of a place I worked, and that's what was being done there. So it's being done in a lot of the workplaces already on a much smaller scale. And
yep.
People don't seem to be upset about that. You know, people don't seem to be upset that if they get 3 or 4 phone calls from home, all of a sudden they get written up. Or if they are leaving their property when they get their lunch break and they've been told that they're not supposed to leave and they do because they have a doctor's appointment or they have to pick up something at the grocery store. And somebody knows that they leave the property and they get written up for that. There's a lot of that kind of stuff already going on a much smaller scale. And that's not to protect you. That's to protect them and their very important pocketbook. So, you know, it's not shocking that it would happen on a much grander scale. And maybe a certain amount of it does need to happen, Shelley. Maybe maybe it will bring people up a notch or two with their professionalism and their morals. Maybe a little bit of it does have to happen. We've talked about that before, leaving 2- and 3-year-olds in a playground by themselves, you know. And we've talked about the book Lord of the Flies and what happened when
right.
There was nobody in charge to keep an eye on everybody and to have rules and regulations. So there are certain things that have to be done for all of us, because otherwise we get wacko. And we all know that. So, but there does have to be some decorum and some professionalism, and there do have to be morals. And, but, you know, we'll keep on talking and we'll keep on opening up these lines of communication. Even when people don't call in, as I've said on many occasions, I hear from them later. I loved the young man that we talked to last night. I am so looking forward to meeting him and spending time with him personally, because I think he will be perhaps one of the people that help get things on an even keel, because he has a heart, and he has certainly an excellent spokesperson. And he realizes that it's okay for people to be different, and it's okay for people to have different lifestyles and what have you, but still abide by the same kind of common decency rules that should pertain to all of us all the time and every day. I really
right.
thought he
right.
was he was a very nice young man, very, very nice young
yeah.
man. You liked him too?
Yeah, and I'm thrilled that he wants to be on the show on a regular basis. I think he
mm-hmm.
can be very very timely with some of the topics he'll bring up, especially because we are in Florida, you know, and even though a lot of our listeners aren't, a lot of the things he talks about are common all over the United States and even in other countries. So even
mm-hmm.
though he's going to be talking specifically about where we live, a lot of the issues he talks about are either national or even international issues. So it's still
mm-hmm.
worthwhile to
mm-hmm.
listen to.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, but we're out of time tonight, and I'm glad we talked about this, because you gave me some other things to think about as usual, and I started out, after I read everything about that young man today, I was really angry with him. I wanted to look at him face to face and say, what in the hell were you thinking? But you gave me some other thoughts on the matter, so maybe I have a little bit of a clearer picture of what he was thinking. And I hope he's safe. I hope nothing happens to him, and I hope that this gets rectified in a way that shows some integrity and mm-hmm. some sense of value for all of us. So thank you, my darling. I will talk to you tomorrow night.
That's great, and good night to you.
Thank you. Thank you. And from my heart to yours, everyone out there, good night and God bless. Night, Shelley.
Good night, Reen.